Chinese film and TV show buffs who love foreign flicks mourned recently after two of their favorite websites, YYETS and Shooter, shut down. 最近很多美剧迷因为人人影视、射手网等在线视频和字幕网站的关停而伤心不已。And it took many fans by surprise, but really, were they shut down for good reasons?
Well, it seems like the sudden shutdown of these two very popular, websites is because of, the purpose of cleaning up its content, and that's what the government is spearheading in. And, I can feel the pain, I have to say, because, copyright is one issue, but I think especially 人人影视 YYETS is a website that has sort of guided our way in learning English and offering that window to see what the outside world is like through all these foreign shows and movies. That's all I have to say at this moment.
Okay. You also have to remember, I mean, the environment that both of these websites evolved or grew out of, and that was an environment of rampant piracy and rampant disrespect for copyright and intellectual property. And so I think that really what we're seeing is, number one, Saprift is flexing its muscles a little bit when we look at online entertainment, and especially in the form of foreign TV shows and movies. But also what we're seeing is just the Chinese government in general becoming a bit more serious about IP protection. You know, recently in Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou, there were specific IPR courts set up. And we're seeing just in general, you know, both in terms of public statements, but in policy enforcement, IP is becoming much, much more important for China. And so really that's what a lot of this has a lot of what this is about is, in fact, basically just taking away, you know, a very popular way for China, people in China to pirate content.
Well, pirating content, yes, I don't really think there's much an argument for these two websites in that sense, because I guess they, especially 人人影视, it has actually put the full video online for you to download. And certainly that's infringement upon IP rights. But when you look at the last 10 years as this site thrived, there was these people acting as true communists, as cited online, that they did not profit from it at all. It was more of a, well, or very limitedly.
That doesn't make their behavior any better.
No,
though.
I mean,
it doesn't. But when it became popular, it was, there wasn't really any profit going on. I'd just like to raise that
right.
fact.
But the problem is that it's taking profit. It's still taking profit away from the copyright holder. And so what Renren tried to argue was, in English we call it fair use, and so the idea being is that certain types of media used in certain ways should be open to anyone, regardless of whether or not you actually hold the trademark or the copyright or what or the IP itself. The problem is that if we look at U.S. law, for example, fair use is poorly defined. Mm. It's not necessarily about making profit. Internationally, fair use is again very poorly defined. What happens most of the time, it's going to be on a case-by-case basis, according to the judge in charge of the IP case as the copyright holder brings to court. But in the case of Renren, I mean, I think that it's very difficult to argue fair use. Mm-hmm. Fair use in general is only going to be, you know, short snippets here and there. So, for example, a scene from The Good Wife. And someone is and a professor wants to use that in a class.
Right.
And they only use 2 or 3 minutes to show, maybe it's a film class and they want to show how the director positioned the camera. Maybe it's a law class and there was an especially good part that illustrates what happens in a courtroom or something like that. That, I think, would hold up very, very well in a court, the professor arguing fair use. And I doubt the MPAA or any other industry body would necessarily necessarily pursue that. If they did, number one, it's bad PR. Number two, it'd probably end up being a waste of money. But in the case of Renren, that's not what they were doing. They weren't doing it for necessarily, you know, short snippets here and there for purely educational purposes. They were making available to an amazingly large audience, 1.8 million people supposedly in August only visited that site and downloaded content. So around 2 million people had access to this content, and it was the full content, right?
Exactly.
And so that is not fair use. I'm
right.
sorry.
Yes, I think I agree with you in that sense when we are talking about full download of full videos. But there's also the subtitles. And often, I think, yes, there some legal experts are saying that those producers of these shows, they have also the rights to the subtitles. But yes, for the English subtitles, but I think for Ren Yu Shi, they've actually come up with their own Chinese version of the translated subtitles,
and
which
also,
you can't find anywhere else.
I think, yeah, this applies more to Shooter, who, you know, itself doesn't provide a download of full videos, but does provide download to the Chinese subtitles. So some may say that they are at least less guilty than Ren Yu Shi in this regard.
And they're coming up with their own original content, and you're not able to find Chinese subtitles anywhere else. I think there is sort of a debate for them in that regard.
Yeah, I guess. And also Draco sends a message, which I think does make sense. He says, one fact we should not ignore is that few international film owners blame or sue the Chinese caption makers for their work of, you know, subtitle translation.
Right.
On the contrary, some of them actually believe that a subtitle editing group, 字幕组, can be one of the best local promoting approaches, you know, to reach their potential Chinese audience.
Right, but that's obviously very different from the mass piracy that we've seen from Renren.
Exactly.
I mean, so I think we do need to be clear here that we are looking at two different cases. I think the timing is perhaps a bit more than coincidence. But at the same time, they are two very, very different websites doing very, very different things. As Xiaohua mentioned, I mean, Shooters was only offering the subtitle files, and I think it's a shame that the owner and the person running that site decided to close it for that very reason, because he wasn't breaking any laws. He wasn't necessarily infringing on any IP, just you know, a forum for people interested in translating Chinese English into Chinese.
Yeah, but one might argue that, you know, you cannot take advantage of these a subtitle, a caption files or subtitle files, if you don't have the pirated version of the video, because the way to use it is you drag it into the video file or
but,
something.
But, I mean, you know, according to the letter of most laws, having a subtitle file does not equal piracy, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that's a very tenuous argument to make. And I'm not sure how it would play out in Chinese court, but in the U.S. court, I think that would be a fairly hard sell. I think that's also one of the things we have to keep in mind with all of this, is that we're dealing with areas in Chinese law that really haven't been fleshed out yet. In terms of IP law infringement, in terms of IP infringement, in terms of the law itself and how it's enforced, we're still really looking at the infancy here in China.
Exactly. The thing is that we're not even looking at the practice of law, because, you know, nobody has sued anybody, at least at this stage. So the court is not getting involved. But the authorities are still just trying to, you know, clean up the environment.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think that's a big part of it. I think that it's becoming more and more important for China as a nation, in terms of central level policy, to really start showing to the rest of the world that it is willing to, you know, play by the rules, you might say, and you know, really accept some of the at least legal norms, especially when it comes to intellectual property.
I think these websites are facing pressure from international organizations such as Motion Picture Association of America, that's MPAA, that John just cited, and also domestic pressure, obviously, as for MPAA, they actually listed YYETS as among the worst sources of online DVD piracy in the world. And I think domestically, of course, the authorities are doing something here, as demonstrated, but also you have those sites such as Sohu, who are paying big bucks to buy the legitimate way into showing all these videos. So I think in that sense, then it is kind of unfair for those who've actually paid so much to show the shows legitimately.
Yeah. Also, Andy sends us a message saying, I am a fan of Renren production, but one thing I think I should point out is that Renren did profit a lot from their website pop-up ads.
Exactly.
And tons of built-in video commercials preceding their American TV show videos, at least in recent years.
Yeah, so again, I mean, I would say that it's quite obvious that the fair use argument is totally and completely not applicable here.
Exactly. But I guess one of the things we should also talk about is the impact of this, because, you know, we've mentioned previously that there is this effort to crack down on, you know, pirated content or illegitimate download of contents. But what will the influence be? Especially people are worried about people who are interested in watching US or, you know, British or these foreign TV shows will be worried about, you know, having no place to watch them. And also what will happen to the 字幕组, the people who translate the subtitles?
Well, yes, I think for those who translate the subtitles, I think they're great people. They're usually they're not paid or not paid very much, and they're doing this sort of out of goodwill and often showcasing really good skills in language and also humor. And we're not talking just about translating stuff from English to Chinese, but even Japanese, Korean into Chinese. And what we've seen so far is that I think some of these translation groups have actually worked with, you know, those big shots that have bought the rights to show these content on their platforms legitimately, such as Sohu.com. And one example is actually earlier this year, the super popular South Korean TV drama Lai Zi Xing Xing De Ni actually partnered with one of those online translation groups. And the result was great. So
yeah.
I think this is probably going to be the way forward for these very talented people.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think that number one, the great thing about the internet is that there's always someone willing to do something. And that can be something good and perhaps what you might consider lawful. There can be something bad and what you might consider illegal. But either way, the great thing about the internet is that it is still a bit of a Wild West type of environment. And so the great thing about that, in a sense, is that on the one hand, you know, these popular types of websites that were obviously operating illegally, you might say, infringing on copyright and intellectual property. But at the same time, providing a valuable service in terms of subtitles, someone else is going to take up the torch. And I think also you have to keep in mind that because the internet isn't in and of itself, number one, it's so vast and actually so deep that I'm sure that there are other websites who do provide these types of subtitles already, but they're just not as popular or perhaps not as popular yet.
Yeah, that's true. And I think also in terms of these, you know, illegitimate video downloads, even if Renren is being closed, I'm sure there are still other sites out there. One of the things about the hard things for regulators about the internet is just it's very hard to you know, crack down on these things.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, BitTorrent in the West, I mean, this has been something that governments in the West and industry groups have been trying to crack down on for a long, long time with varying degrees of success. But they're still around. You can still go to BitTorrent sites and download pretty much anything you can think of.
Yeah.
And here I'd like to cite a famous line from the U.S. TV series Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So just to say to the regulator, I suppose, cut off one head, two more will grow in this place.
A little bit disgusting, but
I think it's really cool.
But also, I just want to point out, I mean, I think the key for the Chinese market is similar to what we've seen in other markets as well. Number one, discouraging people through legal methods against piracy, but also offering them legal ways to access it as well. And we're seeing that more and more in China already.
Very well said.